This was partly due to some critical remarks she had made concerning my daughter, Sheila. I soon disposed of that, assuring her that as children criticize their parents freely in print nowadays, parents are only too delighted when their offspring come in for their share of abuse. Her other objection was extreme modesty about her literary style. She hoped I would put the grammar right and all that. I have, on the contrary, refused to alter so much as a single word. Miss Letheren's style, in my opinion, is vigorous, individual, and entirely apposite. If she calls Hercule Poirot, Poirot in one paragraph and Mr. Poirot in the next, such a variation is both interesting and suggestive. At one moment she is, so to speak, remembering her manners. And hospital nurses are great sticklers for etiquette. And at the next, her interest in what she is telling is that of a pure human being, cap and cuffs forgotten. The only thing I have done is to take the liberty of writing a first chapter, aided by a letter kindly supplied by one of Miss Letheren's friends. It is intended to be in the nature of a frontispiece. That is, it gives a rough sketch of the narrator. Frontispiece. In the hall of the Tigris Palace Hotel in Baghdad, a hospital nurse was finishing a letter. Her fountain pen drove briskly over the paper. "Well, dear, I think that's really all my news. I must say it's been nice to see a bit of the world, though England for me every time, thank you. The dirt and the mess in Baghdad, you wouldn't believe. And not romantic at all like you'd think from the Arabian Nights. Of course, it's pretty just on the river, but the town itself is just awful, and no proper shops at all. Major Kelsey took me through the bazaars, and of course there's no denying they're quaint, but just a lot of rubbish and hammering away at copper pans till they make your head ache, and not what I'd like to use myself, unless I was sure about the cleaning. You've got to be so careful of verdigris with copper pans. I'll write and let you know if anything comes of the job that Dr. Riley spoke about. He said this American gentleman was in Baghdad now and might come and see me this afternoon. It's for his wife. She has fancies, so Dr. Riley said. He didn't say any more than that, and of course, dear, one knows what that usually means, but I hope not actually DTs. Of course, Dr. Riley didn't say anything, but he had a look, if you know what I mean. This Dr. Leidner is an archaeologist, and is digging up a mound out in the desert somewhere for some American museum. Well, dear, I will close now. I thought what you told me about little Stubbins was simply killing. Whatever did Matron say? No more now. Yours ever, Amy Letheren. Enclosing the letter in an envelope, she addressed it to Sister Kershaw, St. Christopher's Hospital, London. As she put the cap on her fountain pen, one of the native boys approached her. "A gentleman come to see you, Dr. Leidner." Nurse Letheren turned. She saw a man of middle height with slightly stooping shoulders, a brown beard, and gentle, tired eyes. Dr. Leidner saw a woman of 35, of erect, confident bearing. He saw a good-humoured face with slightly prominent blue eyes and glossy brown hair. She looked, he thought, just what a hospital nurse for a nervous case ought to look. Cheerful, robust, shrewd, and matter-of-fact. Nurse Letheren, he thought, would do. Introducing Amy Letheren. I don't pretend to be an author or to know anything about writing. I'm doing this simply because Dr. Riley asked me to, and somehow, when Dr. Riley asks you to do a thing, you don't like to refuse. "Oh, but doctor," I said, "I'm not literary at all." "Nonsense," he said. "Treat it as case notes, if you like." "Well, of course, you can look at it that way." Dr. Riley went on. He said that an unvarnished, plain account of the Tel Yarimjar business was badly needed. "If one of the interested parties writes it, it won't carry conviction. They'll say it's biased one way or another." And of course, that was true, too. I was in it all, and yet an outsider, so to speak. "Why don't you write it yourself, doctor?" I asked. "I wasn't on the spot. You were. Besides," he added with a sigh, "my daughter won't let me." The way he knuckles under to that chit of a